Welcome, and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the September 28, 2025 service at Plymouth, the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Gather, beloved of God, and rest in the shelter of the Most High. The Almighty spreads wide wings of mercy, a refuge stronger than fear.
We trust in the one who holds us, our shield in every storm, our fortress through the night. To God be honor, praise, and endless love. Amen.
Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that as we prepare to sing stand up for Jesus, that I say, please sit down? It just would be incongruous, wouldn't it? So we are standing. Let us sing together. Stand up for Jesus.
Next is the hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. Next is the hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading is from the 91st Psalm, verses 1 through 6, and verses 14 through 16. And I'm reading from the Message. You who sit down in the high God's presence, spread the night in the almighty shadow. Say this, God, you're my refuge. I trust in you and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, nor flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, nor disaster that erupts at high noon. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of trouble. I'll give you the best of care if you only get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times and I'll rescue you, and then I'll even throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Next is the hymn, Majesty.
We've been making our way through the New Testament epistles, so many of them written by the Apostle Paul, and each, some to churches, some in this case to an individual, Timothy, a young disciple of his. We turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. There is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and to destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. In their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Instead, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you were made. The good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus who is his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, and the Lord of Lords. It is he alone who has immortality, and who dwells in the unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for them treasures of good foundation for the future, that they may take hold of the life that is really life. This is the word of the Lord. In future days, I'm going to request a large print Bible be in the pulpit just for times such as this, me reading. I've entitled my message today, Take Hold of Life. In our passage, there is the mention of money, riches, those who have it, and a glimmer of those who do not. We live in a world where money looms large. Markets rise and fall. Inflation erodes our savings. Our appetite grows, whether we have little or a lot. We feel the pressure to get more. Well, Paul invites us to go after something far greater. In our passage, he says, in essence, take hold of life, real life, life that cannot be lost, can't be stolen, it can't be eaten by inflation. Listen, this is how Paul said it. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content in that. Take hold of life, real life, by choosing contentment. When I use the phrase contentment, it's not resignation. It is freedom from craving. Contentment. One of my seminary colleagues, after his graduation, went on to serve a small church. And in that first year, he made mention that no matter what they paid him, no matter what he made, it was always about $2,000 short of what he really needed. And each year after that, when they said, Pastor, we need to give you a raise, or we'd like to give you a raise, what would you like in the way of a raise? And he would say, well, how about $5,000? And they said, how about $2,000? And every year his comment was, it's just not quite enough. And that's human nature. Wants become needs, and needs become necessities. One of my past professors, Leonard Sweet, tells of a country store owner in West Virginia. The salesman said, everybody's going to need one of these. And the owner replied, Mister, in this part of the country, every want ain't necessarily a need. That's a statement about contentment, knowing the difference between want and need. And it's often the rural parts, the country stores, country living that helps us face that and be aware of that day in and day out. Take hold of life means loosening your and my grip on what you don't need, and learn to say, what I have is enough. That's the best statement of contentment I know. Take hold of life by escaping the trap of wanting more. Paul warns us, those who want to get rich fall in temptation and a snare. Money itself is absolutely neutral, and yet it is the love of money that corrodes the soul. Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and mammon, or money. When our hearts bow to money, it becomes an idol for us, and that idol can harm us and the next generation. Our culture feeds this trap. You've seen it. You've felt it. The new iPhone comes out. Guess what? We want the newest iPhone. When we have filled our houses up, we want the next bigger house. When the latest model of automobiles comes out, well, we want the one with all the bells and whistles. It was Harry Emerson Fosdick who prayed, and we sang about that last Sunday in his hymn. The hymn that one of the lines says, shame our wanted selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. So if you and I really want to take hold of life, we must let go of the craving that keeps us poor in soul. We need to escape the trap of wanting more. So then, take hold of life by seeing riches with new eyes. On a cold, rainy day, a widow invited two children from her neighborhood into her home for hot chocolate while she gathered a few items to give in their sacks. So as they sipped the cocoa by the fire, the little girl said, you must be rich. Surprised, the woman asked, why do you say that? How can you call me rich? And the little girl answered, because your cups and saucers match. The children left, and the woman thought, my cups and saucers match. I never realized how rich I am. Contentment with gratitude for what you already have in your hands is a wonderful mix. The attitude of gratitude is how you take hold of life, real life. Which leads me to my next point. Take hold of life by using wealth as stewardship, not as accumulation. Paul urges the rich not to put their hope in wealth, but put your hope in God. So be rich in good deeds, generous and willing to share. He says, because true wealth is measured not by how much you have, but by what you do with what you have. In my lifetime, I've known people who did just that. What they did was pay for a community-wide Thanksgiving dinner for the homeless. Yes, they bought the dinner. They served it at their church. But I've also seen it in buying a used car for a niece so that she can go to school. I've also seen it in helping a young man pay for seminary costs. But not only that, there's a group that formed a no-name club. And they're at the church that if the pastor knew of a need, they would quietly finance whatever the need was, whether in cash or in groceries or clothing, whatever it was. The no-name club, because no name was ever shared as to where the gift came from, where the help was offered from. They wanted to remain anonymous. These people are not millionaires. They are rich because they are generous. They truly have already begun to take hold of life that is truly life. For us, the only treasures you keep are those you give away. The saying goes, there's no trailer hitch on a hearse. When we die, our cars are traded in. Our clothes are given to Goodwill. Our knickknacks sold at a yard sale. It's like building a sandcastle. It's beautiful in the moment, but the next time high tide washes in, the sandcastle crumbles and is gone. Only God is eternal. Only knowing, serving, and giving last forever. It is as Isaac Watts wrote, time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all sons away. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. When you and I invest in God, when we invest in people because of the way God loves through us, you and I are taking hold of life, life beyond death. So for us, we need a change of heart. Paul ends our passage with this command. Take hold of the life that is truly life. That's our invitation today. Strive to amass a fortune just to make sure it is the right kind of fortune. Practice contentment. Shift from craving to gratitude. Invest in people, not things. Lay up our treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there also is your heart. It's as Luther said, let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. So my friends, take hold of life, real life, eternal life. Amen.
Next is the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Oh, yeah.
Next is the hymn, When the Poor Ones.
My friends, dwell in the shelter of the Most High. In the shadow of the Almighty, we rest secure. Fly above the storm upon the wings of God's love. In the unapproachable light of the living God, we do not fear the shadow of death. With the blessings of our hope and our salvation, we take hold of the life that is really life. Let us sing our sending song.